this majlis of ours, this gathering of ours, the meaning and objective of this, that my Hazrat Sheikh, my teacher ordered with regards to this gathering, was based on two factors. And today I am on my Sheikh's orders. A person, when he tries to implement the Sheikh's orders, and the hukum was this, that to the people, with every effort and with every concern and effort, give the targheeb, the methodology and the invitation towards the dhikr of Allah. And with every means necessary, explain the meaning of dhikr khafi, of silent dhikr, that this is the dhikr of the heart that people are not aware of, and how great a dhikr this is. And in the dunya there are great rewards for dhikr khafi, great rewards for silent dhikr, and great stages and rank in the hereafter for doing this. Hazrat ordered to go into the streets, into the alleyways, into the homes, and get an invitation for this dhikr. And even if you have to travel far, doesn't matter how much you have to travel to do this, to implement this, then continue to travel to do this, in order to implement this. But this work is the work of the Nabis of Allah, the Prophets of Allah, to spread the dhikr of Allah. So continue in this da'wah, in this work. So I am not really worthy of any action, and I just, in a broken down way, implement Hazrat's hukum, and I cannot fulfill the right that is due. And I feel ashamed that how will I show my face, or how can I show my face, or how could I show my face to Hazrat. And the second order was that don't let the form or the quality of this gathering change. Because when a person, you can say, sets forth on a journey, and a majlis is formed for a reason, then afterwards the direction changes. And when a person sits and starts to talk, different topics can come up. They're all permissible. We could start the tafsir of the Quran, that's a good thing. And we could start from hadith tafsir or commentary. And we could give da'wah for other actions and worship, etc. And that's fine. But Hazrat said that there are many people in the world who are doing the work of the deen, who are inviting towards the ilm and knowledge. But Hazrat said, the work that I'm giving to you, nobody's doing. So you have to do just this work, which is to spread the dhikr of Allah, the silent dhikr, the khafi dhikr. Why? Because as Qiyamah gets closer and time passes, then people will be in dire need of this action, of this action. So insan, within insan, that there will be mountains and mounds of dirt and impurities within the human being. The sins will mount up to the heights, but the person doesn't know or won't know how to clean and purify his or her heart from the sins. Because we are living in that day and age now, which is closer to the end of time, to Qiyamah, and people have forgotten this da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is azim da'wah, which is how to clean and purify our inner self, our hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the kamal to his nabis, who were the mahbub of Allah, that first and foremost, that this is the da'wah that used to be done by the prophets to human beings, that as soon as a person would come and see the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Rasulullah wouldn't tell him anything else, no salah, no other thing. The first pillar of the deen that was implemented was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would purify the hearts of those people with his blessed sight, to this extent that those people had come to set themselves free from the idols. So Rasulullah would eliminate the idols from within their batin, the inner self. And this was what would happen. This was a great, great job, that a function. Now we are stuck in our daily lives, in our issues. We do a lot of ibadah, we worship, we fast, we read Quran, but we don't know about our inner self, that what is the situation within us, inside us. If only there was a button that we could open the locks and look inside, that this is the situation I have inside me. The fire of Jahannam is burning within. I swear by Allah, the fire of Jahannam is burning within. Tell me. The love of dunya, love and greed of dunya, and we're overwhelmed by dunya. We have haram surrounding us, and a person just trembles when he hears that what is inside us, that what is concealed within us, what is the condition of ourselves spiritually inside. It's sad state of affairs. So that's why dhikr is prescribed to individuals. That's why dhikr is explained to people. Hazrat said, don't change the meaning and form and objective of your gatherings. It doesn't matter what other people say and come and say, people will come, Hazrat said. They will learn this dhikr. They will feel the benefit, alhamdulillah, that is beneficial. And they will take the benefit. They will take the benefit from the dhikr of Allah. And then Hazrat said that every individual has a need for the dhikr of Allah. Every man, every person needs an alim, scholar, non-scholar, big, small, old, young, woman, male, person who is literate, illiterate, western hemisphere, eastern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, northern hemisphere, wherever a person's from, every human being will have a need to do this dhikr of Allah. And the second thing Hazrat said was that the second duty I give you after doing the dhikr of Allah, and Hazrat gave me the reference of the kitab. The Hazrat said, from this kitab, that in the majlis, in the gathering, you have to keep doing talqeen and repeating these things to the people, explain these points to everybody from these hadith, from the learnings, from the teachings. And people will listen what you're saying. Hazrat said this. So just two things remember. To this extent, that keep on repeating through the Quran and the Hadith, which point with regards to the dhikr of Allah and the purification of the batin, the inner self. And when people will listen and understand, then they will feel, ooh, we're stuck in a rut. We're stuck in a rut. We're stuck in a vicious cycle. These people, or this majlis that we're coming to, they've got iman, the people who are around us, and then they will become aware, the newcomers, and they will realize the reality of life. They'll start doing the dhikr of Allah, and then their life will change for the better, said Hazrat. Subhanallah. So brothers, that's why we have this majlis, this gathering, whether it's in a masjid or in another masjid or in an alleyway or in a pathway. Our majlis has one form, the dhikr of Allah, and words and discussion on tazkiyah, purification, how to save ourselves from sins, which sins we need to avoid and divert away from. And this is our majlis, this is our gathering, and this is my responsibility. Now what is your responsibility? You need to listen to this now. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So I've just explained my responsibility, the duty that was given to me. Who has sent you now to this gathering? Allah has sent you. Oh, you're so fortunate. Allah is so shafiq, and He's put His favor on us that He sent us to this country. Look where Allah Ta'ala has sent us. And then on top of that, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah Ta'ala, prepared it in such a way that for you Allah Ta'ala created such an action that He sent you to that action as well. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want the connection to break, because Allah Ta'ala loves the people of Iman. So if Allah Ta'ala has sent you here, me, us here, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to listen, and we come, alhamdulillah, with awareness, understanding, and we sit here. We sit here, and Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to listen. Allah has given us understanding, and we understand everything. This is Allah's karam, isn't it? Allah's karam. And Allah made everything transparent. He makes us listen and hear. So then our duty, those who are listening, is that we should listen carefully to everything. We should listen carefully to everything. And after sitting, we should do one action that I've heard this. This is sensible. Well, this makes sense what I'm hearing. And everything else that I listen to, I know what's in my mind and heart is not good. And I need to do tawbah. I need to repent with this through this person. I make one niyyah that Allah, I will try my best, that I will eliminate this sin from my life and my body. That's it. Alhamdulillah. And then it's Allah Ta'ala who will remove. It's Allah who is our Rabb. Nothing is difficult for Allah. Nothing is difficult for Allah. No task is from the greatest and biggest of magnitude. But the person who doesn't have niyyah, then obviously that will not occur. Remember this. Whenever you come, especially when you come to the majlis of this fakir, then come with this intention that whatever we hear today, whatever we hear today, it doesn't matter if it's been repeated many times over before, I will look towards the mirror and I will make niyyah by sitting there. I won't be scared, afraid that I can't do this. I'll make niyyah, intention, doesn't matter how hard the action seems or the point seems that I can't do this, it's too difficult for me, it's impossible. Say, Allah, I make niyyah total that I want to be set free from this sin in whichever way possible. I need to shun this sin and leave away and migrate away from this sin. Then Allah Ta'ala says that person will be ashamed when he's repeating that sin again. He'll be ashamed. Oh, don't you feel aren't you ashamed of yourself? You're doing this again. So you have two duties and I have two duties. I'm fulfilling my duty, so you also fulfill your duty. You will do this, won't you? Inshallah. So do you understand your two duties, your tasks? Yes. So, before dhikr, let me request that on the day of judgment, the good deeds will be presented and the sins will be presented. And this is our test here now, 40 years, 50 years Allah Ta'ala gave us. Allah will say, hey, bring a sheet. Will Allah ask for money, wealth, or ask about our shop, or business, or wife, or children? Is this what Allah Ta'ala asks about? Allah will give one hukum, one order. What is the hukum order? That one person's here to the... And Allah will say, yes, come these people to the right and these people to the left. And Allah won't say, right, how many shops has he got, how many assets has he got, how much money has he got, how much wealth has he got. Will this be written? No. Allah Ta'ala is not worried about this. Allah Ta'ala will look at the deeds. And at this moment in time, the pens, the ink is being used to record the deeds, just like I've spoken. So it's been written that everybody has accepted what has been said today and they have made the niyyah. This will be written, recorded straight away. And the person who thinks, no, it's too hard, then that will be written as well. And that day, one day will be seen. And remember, so sit and think that you need to align the thoughts that go into your hearts after hearing something. It is recorded. So we're getting such a big reward free of charge. The Hazrat is saying this, and I will make niyyah from today to improve. What a great point. So this we need to record. Now, let's come to the point. So we will then stand as mujrims, as criminals, and the two wakils of Allah will be in front of us. And Allah will say, explain the good deeds. Good deeds. And let's hope there's just good deeds upon good deeds upon good deeds in thereafter. And this day will come as well. This moment will come as well. So I see the, where's all this come from? This printout on the day of judgment. All of my actions, such deeds will come in front of me that I implemented those actions without the intention of goodness. And I didn't even classify as goodness, but that is sending me to Jannah. So much so that so many good deeds will prop up on the day of judgment. And I'll say, I can't remember I did this. How did Allah make me do this? And I will say, for this reason, send this person to Jannah Paradise. And this is how decisions will be made in thereafter, alhamdulillah. And in the same way, we have the opposite of sin. Now, the hisab, the accounting in hereafter will be ajeeb and unique. Because it will be seen that the sins we've committed, the time we've wasted, but there will be such sins within that, that a person will say, did I just do this? Did I commit this sin or this mistake? And there will be great big adab, punishment for those sins. And the individual will say that, here it's easy to implement the sin. But the punishment will be so severe in hereafter that when that sin will come in front of those people, in front of their eyes, it will eliminate the good deeds from that person's record book. And that sin, the regret over that sin will be that I did this sin because I was getting benefit in the world. I was feeling taste and enjoyment. The nafs, the desires were getting enjoyment. That's what happens, isn't it, when a person commits sin because he's feeling enjoyment. There's a benefit here in my worldly life. He feels he's getting promotion or benefiting materially, etc. That's why a person says, go and do this. Carry on with this way and with this method. But that sin that the person has implemented will be recorded. And then the person will regret and thereafter that I did this sin. There was no benefit in the world doing this. No objective, no real gain did I get. Why did I do such a big sin? As the Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullah alayh, narrated a hadith with regards to this point. And my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib loved Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah so much. Hazrat was an ashik, a love of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. And many times over West, so regularly would Hazrat give the reference of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. And Hazrat gave me the order that through the kitab of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, I need to give tabligh. So some people give references of these people, but I will use the names of those references of those ustad that my Shaykh said, and you should also use the names that your ustad is saying. Isn't it? This is ajeeb, obviously. So obviously you will follow what your teacher says, isn't it? Yeah. So now, that hadith was presented, and Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that don't do this specific sin. And how do people do this sin? That there's no benefit of this sin. And especially women folk. The women have progressed further than the men. In this case, we cannot tell the difference here, that everyone is occupied in the sin. What happens is that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that what does a person do? What is the action that the person commits? is that there's no objective. He's doing a certain sin, speaking. When they finish speaking, when a person finishes speaking, especially women, where there's a majlis, a gathering of women, they'll gather and form together. And when they finish speaking about what they want to speak to, then gossiping starts and backbiting starts, and then the sin that is most dangerous within this action, which we need to listen carefully to, and we do this action, is that to start to speak about other people. You can say curse other people, ridicule other people, to start to use words to curse other people. I'm not see that, is this somebody from within my home who's doing this, I'm speaking to my husband, or the husband saying to the wife, especially this happens always continuously in the homes, within families. Wherever a person's sitting, where we're speaking about a specific topic which is necessary, but when the topic ends, then we're going to unnecessary talk. Either husband and wife, or with relatives. Oh, he did this, or he did magic on you, or black magic on you, etc. This we should do, that we should do. So the husband and the wife start to get involved in this. So I stated that this sin, that speaking about others and cursing others and speaking bad of others, there's adab for this action. This is an ajeeb sin. It's stated when a person starts to speak words against other people, ridiculing and rejecting and shunning others, then what happens is that that person, whatever he said where he cursed another person or ridiculed another person, that statement will rise up to the skies and it will cut through the clouds. And when it gets to the heavens, then the hukum is that all the doors are closed at that time. That is the hukum, the order. This such a dirty statement is coming up to the skies, to the heavens. So the order is given that all the doors of the heavens should be shut, so that this statement cannot penetrate any further. But straight, that then statement will come back down to the earth. When it comes back to the earth, then Allah gives hukum that close the doors of the dunya, so that this statement has no abode, because this is a very harmful statement. That the impurities that emanate from that wrong statement, to say bad against somebody, to curse somebody, in other words, to use curse and curse others, in a, speak to a person in a cursing way. Oh, may this happen to that person, or may that happen to this person, or I hate this person, I want this destruction to come to this person. That he did this to me, Allah, Allah, you do this as well. Allah, that Allah, he treated others like this, Allah, make others treat him the same way. In other words, cursing somebody, having, harboring bad thoughts about someone. Then from the heavens, the doors are shut, and then that statement flies back down, and the doors of the earth are shut. Then that statement hovers in between. Allah says, close all the doors to the extremes of the east and the west and north and south. Allah says, close, lock. And when all of the exits are closed and there can be no effect of that dirty statement on anyone or anything, then that statement says, Allah, you have sealed everything. Allah says, no, one thing is open still. Go there and you can go there if you want. And he will say, what is that place? That same human being who stated this statement that you emanated from, go back to that person. Go back to a person. And tell me, when a person gets the rebound of the sin, then what will be the hal of that man or woman or whom? We are so happy that I've cursed this person and said bad about this person. We've destroyed this person. We think we're happy about this fact. But we don't know that what have we earned at the same time? What will be our hal? What will happen with that person in the dunya? And when that person passes away, then his condition in the world was that there was nothing worse than his statement in the world. Then when that person goes to the heavens, then he'll see the reality of his actions. So we will be present on the Day of Judgment. That sin will be mentioned, attached to our name. How will we be able to go into Jannah? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very clear with the Sahaba Ikram that these actions and these give the consequences in this way. Because Nabi Sallam knew that the Ummah to come, they will pray Salah, read Quran, do Sujood, and Tasbihs will be used all day long. There will be a majlis for Khatam, or this person doing this Quran Khatam. After half an hour, Quran finishes, then they start backbiting. Someone speaks about her husband, or her mother-in-law, or sister-in-law, or the mother-in-law is talking about her daughter-in-law, and uncles and aunties, and lanat on this person, and curse on this person. May Allah give azab to these people, na'uzubillah. These are common statements on the tips of our tongues, and these are unlawful. That's fine, a person does get angry, person can be mistreated and have issues, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the kalamats in the time of anger, that Allah, just like this person has done this to me, Allah give hidayah to this person. Say this when you're angry, that Allah, this person mistreated me, give hidayah to this person, give guidance to this person. And they are dua, do duas and recite verses for that person who's done harm to you, tries to do harm to you. And Nabi Sallallahu said that when you give good duas to those people who are trying to harm you, then Allah Ta'ala says, not only does that dua reach the person, Allah accepts this. And when we say the kalima which is better, and the one that is not good, it sends a lana, Allah Ta'ala says that due to the statement of this kalima, if we implement our lives according to the sunnah, then Allah Ta'ala says, I will take the work from that person and give him sukoon, and take the work of the deen from that person. That person will run around to do the work of the deen from Allah. To the work of the deen that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. When that person is running away from deen, has no intention to practice, Allah Ta'ala says that that individual who does the tawbah and regrets, and I will say that you pestered this person, you'll get the adab for this, that you committed excess against this person. But we don't want this, do we? We don't want to get the consequences and the punishment of this. So when we recite this kalima, that Allah, this person said bad to me, he's done bad to me, Allah give him hikmah, and give him some akal, some wisdom, send him to such a company and a gathering that he can learn. So there's anger, and there's anger against the person, and then that person's trying to make us lose and give us loss, but we want that person to benefit in the dunya and the hereafter. So the first thing, as I said, was niyyah. So has everybody made the niyyah, the correct niyyah? Intention, make intention and correct your homes, your houses. When our women are unhappy, when they start eating, drinking tea in the evening and everyone's free and you'll be sat there, they'll have no topic special. And 4 days I've got a severe headache, it looks like your auntie has done something against me. We say things like this. You know, she came a few days ago, she must have done something or said something or given us something. You say, no, this is not the case. Husband says, no, she has done this. Go get her from here. What a very bad thing to say. And so that person, for example, and especially women, they do dhulam on their husband or husband on the wife and people against their in-laws, etc. This happens, that we are living in such an age where there's extremity of dhulam and oppression. And good women, they are painted with the wrong brush and given the wrong mocking and tellings off, etc. So this is where problems occur. That person, if somebody is saying bad against another person verbally, then we need to stop that person. We need to correct our homes. We need to correct ourselves, that this is bad to mock somebody, ridicule someone, send curses on somebody. When we stood and we're speaking and talking, when the topic of discussion finishes, then we start talking about other people. Oh, you know, curse be on this person. Oh, Allah, Allah. How can a person say a curse or give a curse to another person? And the consequences of such an action are very severe indeed. Don't we say this? So many people say this regularly, even maybe just outside the doors of the masjid. Oh, this man's cursed. Oh, he's so unfortunate and lucky. Oh, he's useless. In front of children we say this. To others we say this. So let's do dua to Allah. Allah gives us the tawfiq to understand and implement this. And these so-called small points, but they're very impure in their nature and their consequences are severe. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and implement. Ameen.